1 Timothy 6:17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life.
Children are dismissed to junior church. We're going to begin today with the Apostles' Creed. As we say this together, just remind you that as we come to the line, the Holy Catholic Church, that's small c, meaning church universal, just so we know what we're saying here together. I'm going to ask you to stand, and if you believe this to be true, I'm going to ask you to recite with me, not in monotone, drab words, I believe. Let's say it together. Let's stand together, and let's say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Wow, that was powerful. Thank you. Is this you? Do you believe what you just read out loud? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He did exactly what He said He would do? Die on the cross after living a perfect life to pay for your sins and mine, to redeem you and me unto Himself, to purchase for us an inheritance in heaven. For those who believe, do you believe? Jesus asked Peter, "Who am I to you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he answered unto his salvation. But later, after Peter faltered, Jesus asked him a different question. Who do you love? Dun, 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 dun. Who do you love? Dun, dun, dun. I debated forever whether I would do that or not. So if you're a Bo Diddley fan, that's 1956 Bo Diddley. If you're kind of my generation, that's the circa mid-80s George Thorogood and the Destroyers version. The song is a bizarre song. Totally bizarre. I looked at the lyrics. I have no idea what any of it means other than like the caption line. Who do you love? Who do you love? He asked this question to Peter. He didn't ask here, who am I to you? He asked, who do you love? Do you love me? And after Peter answered in the affirmative three times, each of these times, Jesus then responded with, feed my sheep. Now, while this question and response doesn't deal specifically with money issues, it deals generally with all of our lives. And today we're asking the very specific question. The question was asked, how do we live sacrificially in a materialistic society? How do we live sacrificially in a materialistic society? So I want to start with this, and we'll carry this through. Who do you love? Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Who do you love? Do you love you? Do you love your money and how you use it? Or do you love me? God asks Peter, and he asks us. Notice here, it doesn't say money is bad. It doesn't say you're not allowed to have money. You're not allowed to have even lots of money. It doesn't say don't work for it. Don't earn it. It does say you can't love both. You can't love both. The use of our God-given resources goes a long way in this world of answering the question, who do you love? And what's the standard that Jesus gives in the response? Feed my sheep. Let's begin in prayer together as we look at this question of how do we live sacrificially in a materialistic society. Let's pray. God, your love for humankind, present in the beginning of all things, extends throughout history and touches even our lives. Your love sees failings and forgives. Your love feels pain and wipes away our tears. Your love knows grief and comforts the sorrowful. Your love sees sin and still loves the sinner. Forgive us when we fail to live lives that reflect your love. Forgive us the many times when we take for granted all that you have done for us. Transform us through your Spirit and empower us to serve you. You sent Jesus into our world to teach us of your love and mercy. Send your Spirit upon us, Lord, to teach us to be generous with praise, with kindness, and with charity. You've blessed us in so many ways, our lives, our abilities, and our resources. Help us to return those gifts to you in gratitude for all that we have received. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to admit to you that, as of last night at about 7:35, I was really struggling. I've talked to friends for the last several weeks, and we've talked theology, and we've talked philosophy, and we've talked so many things in relation to giving, and I had so many directions I wanted to go. There was several questions about money, and I considered answering them all. I can spend 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here, and 5 minutes here. Questions about luxuries. Can I have luxuries? Is it right for Christians to possess these things? And if you'd like to stay after, I'll talk to you about my 5 points on luxuries sermon. I have them here still. Is it right to spend money on a dog instead of giving it away? And seemingly such a stupid question. Whoever asked that, come on. That's a deep, important theological question. It raises so many issues. And I went out with Chris one night just to talk about this. We spent 2 hours talking about this, and I'm not going to talk about any of it in my sermon. Because I have a sermon on that too. Because when we get to like money on a dog, well, is it right to... I bought a tie. I have a tie. Should I spend money on a tie so it'll look better for you? Or should I give that money away? Or can I go buy a cup of coffee at Dunkin' Donuts? Or should I just make it at home? Or should I just not even drink coffee because it's probably not anything good for me? Oh, yeah, coffee's good for me. But where does it end there? So many questions that we can ask about money. What about delighting in God's good gifts? What about God honoring delight in God's gifts? And that in itself is a wonderful gift of God's grace. Oh, that's a deep one. We can spend time there. What if my business succeeds? Should I not want that? What if I have money? What do I do? What if I don't have money? What about encouragement for the poor? And I have probably a quarter sermon on money is much greater danger than poverty, which we can talk about at some point. But instead of all these topics, at about 7:35 last night, I just prayed, God, I can't synthesize all this stuff. Please just help me to know where to go. And these two things, two pieces of different parts of sermons I was thinking about, I hope come together for you as they came together for me. I want to talk to you about two things today specifically. I want to talk to you about tithing, and I want to talk to you about intentionality. How do we live sacrificially in today's materialistic society. And these two things, who do you love, they relate to tithing and they relate to intentionality. That's what we're going to focus on today. So let's start with tithing. I want to answer the question, this seemingly simple question we got, is it, do we still have to tithe like we had to in the Old Testament? Do we still have to tithe? Now, what's a tithe? A tithe is giving a 10th% of all that we have, of what we've been given, of income, of gifts, of all things, this piece of a tithe. Well, where did it come from? So let me first tell you that the question, do we still have to tithe? The answer is emphatically no. Yes, no, yes. Okay, that's where I'm going here. So let's start with no. Do we still have to tithe like they did in the Old Testament? The tithe originally came from Abraham and Melchizedek. Now, Abraham, I'm not going to go into this story. You can read about this in middle of Genesis, I believe chapters right in the 20s. I forget off the top of my head. I didn't write it down. Abraham tithes to Melchizedek a portion of a 10th% of what he's taken as plunder. Later on, this is instituted by God in temple worship. And the tithe was for a specific reason. And it was to take care of the Levitical clan, the priestly clan, for temple worship. So it went to support the religious services. It went to support the priestly clan who would perform the religious services and to support God's work through the temple. So this tithe would go out. But that's not where the giving ended for the Old Testament Hebrew. In fact, I've heard it said, and I have to go back and I can't figure the numbers. I can't piece it all together, and I'm not smart enough to do that. But I've heard it said that the Old Testament Hebrew would actually tithe up to about 22% of their income when all tithes, offerings, and gifts were accounted for. The tithing for the clans, the redeeming of their firstborn children, giving away firstborn of the animals and sacrifices, sin offerings, worship offerings, grain offerings, wine offerings, goodwill offerings, free will offerings, grace offerings. On and on and on. There were so many offerings and gifts. So when we ask the question, do we have to tithe like they did in the Old Testament? Don't think of 10. Let's go bigger than that. They gave a whole lot more than just 10% to the Levitical priestly clan. But the tithe itself was this 10%. Okay? So the question is, are we required under the law to give this tithe? And our answer is no. This is the Old Testament, it's the Old Covenant, and we say we believe in Jesus Christ. We say, who do we love? We love you, God. We want to serve you, but we are not under the law. We're not under the law of the Old Covenant to give this tithe percent. In fact, you're not going to hear the word tithe in the New Testament. Romans 7:4 tells us, you died to the law, you belong to Christ, you've been released to serve in the Spirit and bear fruit. Galatians 2:9, you've died to the law, now live for God. Romans 6:15, you are not under the law, but under grace. So if we're not required to fulfill the Old Testament law, how then shall we live, or how then shall we give? We live under the law of Christ, it tells us, which is the law of love. Galatians 6:2, carrying one another's burdens fulfills the law of Christ. Romans 13:8, loving others fulfills the law of Christ. Philippians 2, looking out not just for your own interests, but also the interests of others. We fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love, by feeding his sheep, by caring for others, by looking out for others' needs more than our own. This fulfills the law of Christ. Do we have to give like the tithe? No. Ought we to give? Yes. And so doing, we fulfill the law of Christ. So am I still required to give to fulfill this law of Christ? Well, yes. But some would say then no, because then we read in 1 Corinthians 13:3, if I give all I possess to the poor, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. It doesn't say don't give, but it does say I gain nothing if I haven't love in how I give, in how I interact with my finances here. For 2 Corinthians 9:7, don't give under compulsion, not reluctantly. God loves a cheerful giver. So is the answer then no? Who do you love? When we value our riches in Christ rightly, greatly, and highly enough, when we love Him both for who He is and what He has done, should we not want to feed His sheep? Should we not want to give and participate in His work? Folks, I wrote it down because we just sang this. The riches of your... Now, you just sang this. Did you mean it? The riches of your love will always be enough. Did you mean it? We sing lots of things. Let's be careful of what we sing. Did you mean it when you said the riches of your love will always be enough? Nothing compares to your embrace. My heart, you sang, will sing no other name. Well, does that sing a different name? Does that sing a different name? Does that sing a different name? What do they sing? What do these sing about me? And I'm ashamed to say they don't always sing the right things. Probably yours don't either. Not always. Do we value our riches in Christ rightly? The real question, when seen appropriately, is not should we tithe like the Old Testament? Should we live sacrificially? Should we give? Should we feed God's sheep? Should we care for those around us? Those aren't the real questions when we answer the question rightly, who do you love? The real question is, why would we want to do less? Why? Should I give? Come on, the government. I don't have to give like the Levites then. Now, the government through taxes takes care of all those things, so I don't have to give. Why would we want to do less? God says you'll receive eternal inheritance for what you give. You'll pay it forward. Why would we want to do less? Why would I want to do less? I confess to you that oftentimes I want to do less. Second piece for us today. I didn't tell you that when I changed my sermon, it would be very simple. Pretty direct. This is partly prescriptive for us as well. Our first piece is, who do you love? Thank you. And if we do, does this say, I love you, God? Or does it say, I love me? What does that say? I love you, God. Or do I love me? If I opened it up and you actually did balance your checkbook and I could see it all there in front of me, what would it say? What would it say? So let's talk about then again, how do we go about living sacrificially? If the answer is, I love you, God. Now, I want to backtrack because if you're brand new here today, you haven't trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation. All this sounds like a pitch because today's the business meeting. We're talking about finances. And we need you to support our $250,000 church budget. Man, that's the last thing I want to do. I'm not even talking about our church budget. I'm not talking about finances today because it's the business meeting. I'm talking about finances because I drew the unlucky straw in the elders meeting. That's why I'm talking about finances. No, I'm just kidding. That's true, though. We're talking about this because it's important to our souls. Scripture tells us that money isn't the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money represents value. It demonstrates what we value in this world. Where is your value? Who do you love? So how do we become intentional? How do we be more intentional with our finances to demonstrate our love for God and to ensure that we're living sacrificially in a materialistic world and society? So let's go to 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 17. Our first statement here comes in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. So, I ask you, are you rich? Are you rich? And I know that every single one of you is going to say, "Nope, not rich." You know why I know this? Because over a certain standard of living, research shows us that everyone over a certain basic humble standard of living feels as though if I just had 15% more, I'd be all set. If I just had 15% more, if I make 50,000, if I just had 15% more, I'd be all set. If I make 100,000, if I just had 15% more, if I make 5 million, if I just had 15% more. Why is that? We never think we have enough. We never think we have enough security in money. We place so much value on this. If we just had a little more, we'd be fine. We'd make it. We're not rich. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. And I would say not to be arrogant or ignorant. Are you not rich? There's an arrogance in that. And there's an ignorance in that. I'm going to accuse you and I'm going to accuse me of arrogance and ignorance. We are the wealthiest one of the wealthiest populations of all time. I forget the website I went to. It was absolutely crushing. You punch in your income and it tells you where you fit all time, inflation adjusted, in terms of the population of the world. So let me suggest to you a couple things. I'm a teacher. Come on, I don't make very much money. I'm a teacher. Whatever my salary is, you can look it up online. It's all there posted through our, you know, Brian shaking his head, yep, everybody knows what I make. Yeah, the kids tell me what I make when I go to school. Hey, you're making this much for this class, aren't you? How'd you know? I looked at your salary. Great, thanks. I'm a teacher. I'm not making much. Well, guess what? Based on income, I am one of the wealthiest, not 1%, 0.1% of people in the world. In fact, on the list, I'm somewhere around 4,062,637th in the world in terms of income as a teacher, the world. Top 0.1%. Well, I'm not rich. I make $14 an hour. Well, that's $30,000 a year. You're one of the top 3.2% of income earners in the world. Well, you're not talking to me. I'm not rich. I'm on disability or welfare. Over the course of the history of the world, most of you on disability or welfare would most likely be begging for a living or be dead. We are rich. We are rich beyond belief. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. We are the rich. We're rich beyond measure. Don't be arrogant in asserting your poverty, but be intentional in seeing yourself as rich. Believe it or not, see yourself as rich. How? Praise God for your blessings. Thank Him for His good gifts. For years, I struggled with this idea of every time we sat down for dinner, I would offer these seemingly simple, loose, ineffectual prayers to God about thanking Him for this food that's before us. Over time, I came to realize these are powerful. Every time we sit down for dinner, a repeated phrase, you know me, and I like repeated phrases in my prayers. My wife told me, don't, when you pray, don't say our Father. And may our Father sees us and blah, 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 and all the same things you say. But when we sit down to pray, this is a common refrain. Thank you for providing this food and all that we have. See what we have rightly. We have so much. Do we see it through God's eyes? Do we see the blessings He has provided us with? Do we thank Him for those good things? Food, housing, clothes, job, family, skills, abilities. God, thank you for your provision for us. First part of intentionality, see rightly. See God's good gifts. See ourselves as rich, not just with things, but with God's blessings of His Son. You sang it. Your riches are enough. And I'm not saying material riches there. We're saying the riches of your love will always be enough. Do we see ourselves as rich? We ought to. Continuing in verse 17, then says, don't put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put your hope in God. Don't depend on your wealth, which is uncertain. We think it's certain. I think my job is secure. I'm pretty high up on the ladder. I've been there for 18 years. So I got a couple people underneath me. They'll get rid of first before they get rid of. God could take away my ability to work any day. God could take away my income any day. Where is my security found? Come on, I got my set salary. It's on the salary scale. I know I'm going to make this year. This next year I'm going to make this much. I'm going to budget, set it all aside. I've got this much to work with. Here it is. God's saying, don't put your hope in your income, in your wealth, in your money, in these things you value. Is your hope here? Where is your hope? Who do you love? We must be intentional in recognizing that our jobs are not ultimately our security. God's given us our jobs, believe it or not so much for our security, but for our mission field. Our income is God's great blessing and gift to us, but He's gifted us and given our work as a ministry. It's also to earn a wage. And I want to encourage us in our intentionality with our wages as a way of not putting our hope on our wages. I want us to consider intentionally setting aside money from our incomes immediately unto God. As a matter of saying, I'm not depending on this, God. I'm depending on you. See yourselves as wealthy. Set aside intentionally money immediately from our paychecks. I'm not going to tell you to tithe. Scripture doesn't say tithe. Jesus, when questioned, said, man came and said, Jesus, tell my brother to split the inheritance with me. He said, I'm not going to get into your squabble. I need you to be rich toward God. Be rich toward God in whatever you have, whether you get that inheritance or not. Don't place your dependence on it. Just be rich toward God. That's what I'm here to tell you, because that's a determining factor of who you love. Do you love me? Will you be rich toward me? We need to be intentional in putting our hope in God and not in our wealth by setting aside intentionally money right off the bat for God's blessing by paying it forward unto heaven in how we use our finances. Whatever our wage, let's be intentional in seeing our work clearly as a mission field and that money as from God and setting it aside for Him. Continuing, 1 Timothy 6:18. Command them to do good. Command them to do good. I would suggest to us that we need to see ourselves as wealthy intentionally and thank and praise God. We need to set aside money immediately from our paychecks, set aside our resources to give. And it says, command them to do good. Not under compulsion, but there's a command. Systematically give. Systematically do good. What things can we find that we can be consistent to say, I am going to do good. I've been commanded to do good with the resources I've been given. What will I do with it? That takes some intentionality. That takes some forethought, some foresight. It next says to be rich in good deeds that overflow from our hearts. That we need to give spontaneously, not just systematically, that we plan out our giving, we know where it's going, but that we also are spontaneous. As God brings people, needs, ministries, thoughts, ways we can contribute into our lives, that we could give spontaneously, be rich in good deeds. And lastly, in verse 18, and to be generous and willing to share. Be generous and willing to share. Folks, each of us has an income, wherever it comes from and however much it is. And each of us, research shows, believe that we need 15% more than we have in order to make ends meet and be happy. God has gifted us. God has gifted you with an income right now. And our command is to be generous and share. See us, we need to see ourselves as wealthy so that we can be generous and share. And to do that, we might have to live below the level of our current means. We might have to simplify our lives. Now, I can guarantee you that I could simplify my finances and I could give up more than what I'm currently giving up. You know how I know? Because we were graduate students. After Julie finished graduate school and we were $125,000 in debt, and I was in graduate school and was incurring $30,000 a year in graduate debt, we had a little apartment in Dover, New Hampshire. So how do I know we could live on less? Because we did. Because for 2 years, on our little sheet of paper on our refrigerator, we wrote down every purchase we made. Every purchase we made. If Julie bought a Tic Tac, it went on the board. I'm typing a paper in February. Now, in New Hampshire, we had some of the highest electricity rates in the country at that point in time. We have electric heat in our little place, and I'm typing a paper. And I'm wearing gloves and a scarf and a winter jacket in my apartment trying to type my paper. Julie, can we turn up the heat? I can't feel my fingers. True story. Can we live on less? Absolutely. Absolutely we can live on less. Can we simplify our lives so that we can be more generous? Who do you love? Why would we want to do less? Let me ask a couple questions. Do you have a car? Can you use it for God's glory? Can you use it to minister to others, to share with others, to bless others? How can you use this great gift that you have? Do you have a house? An apartment? How can we use those for God's glory? Can we make our house a home, not just a house? Are you hospitable? Well, that's not my gift. That's a cop-out. That is a cop-out. I'm not hospitable. I'm telling me, I spent $100,000 to $300,000, I don't know how much you spent on your house, that we spend up to $300,000 on a house, and we're not going to use that for God's glory? That I'm not going to share that with others? That I'm not going to use that as a primary means to transmit God's grace to other people in this world? My dad said to us when we got married, as he married us, he said, I challenge you to make your home a place of refuge for you and for others. And for others, how do we use probably the largest gift, the largest resource we have? Are we taking that? Are we taking control of that for God's glory? Do you have a cell phone? What's it cost? $110 a month? It's, you know, $1,500 a year, whatever it is that it costs you. Can I use that for God's glory? Can I be an encouragement? Can I take that tool that maybe seems like a luxury? Now, we're not going to talk about luxuries. That maybe seems like a luxury, but can I use that? How can I change that and say, God, I love you. I'm going to use these things as a blessing for others. Let's be creative and let's be intentional with how we use the things God has given us. Do you have a hobby that you could bring others along in and use it to minister and share with them? Do you have a skill that you could teach or share? Do you have money? Do you have money? It's just a thing. Who do you love? Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Who do you love? Let's use our money to do good. Let's use our money to be rich in good deeds. Let's use our money to be generous and willing to share. This doesn't just happen. We must be intentional. Well, intentional, isn't that? Now we're back to under compulsion, right? Who do you love? Well, I love my wife, and sometimes I act out of complete, pure, selfless love for her. Honey, let me give you a back rub. Let me do the dishes so you can go sit or go exercise. I'll take the kids. Now, sometimes that happens, and I got to admit, sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes I don't do any acts of love. It's not my best moments. And sometimes I perform acts of love because I know it's the right thing to do. Is that under compulsion? So it means I shouldn't do it? I'm not going to, sorry, hon. I know I could help you out here by doing the dishes, but I really feel compelled to do them, so I'm not going to. Because, you know, God loves a cheerful doer. I don't think that's going to go over too well. Intentionality. See, when I perform acts of love, even for my wife, not based on my feelings, but because I've chosen to love her, it demonstrates where my treasure is, and it brings my heart along. Have you ever read the verse, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also? Not the other way around. Not where your heart is, there you'll put your treasure. I think we already do that. If you look at my checkbook all too often, you'll find out where my heart is. But if I say, I love you, God, who do you love? You love me? Put my treasure there. My heart will come along. My heart will follow. If I love the things that God loves, if I love the people that God loves, if I give to the people that God brings into my life, my heart will follow. I'm invested. I'm there. I'm coming along. Intentionality, so important for us. When I make God my treasure and serving Him my treasure, my heart will follow. Intentionality. Let me just bring you back to these five quick points we've made. Number one, see what God has provided. See ourselves as rich. Number two, set aside resources to give. Set them aside. Right away. Don't depend on my salary like, this is mine. I need to live on this. God will provide. You set aside resources to give right away. Systematically give. Give. Now that may be to church. I hope it is to our church for the ministry and purposes here, but it also to other places. Systematically give. Spontaneously give as God leads and simplify our lives that we might be more generous. Who do you love? Who do you love? Feed my sheep, God tells us. Why would we want to do any less? Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, we love you. We say we love you. Father, forgive me that my money, my credit card, and my checkbook don't always confirm my love for you. Father, I pray that you would overflow us with your goodness. Impress upon us your grace, your mercy, your love, your work on our behalf, that we have no other response than to say, I love you, as Peter did, and that we would be able to respond to that love by feeding your sheep. Father, why would we want to do any less? Teach us to be intentional. Strengthen us for that task. As we go home today, help us to view our finances in a way, help us to see them as you see them, and help us to use them as you would use them. Give us wisdom as we seek to live sacrificially in a materialistic world. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. As you go, I command you who are rich in this present age, do not be arrogant or ignorant. Do not put your hope in wealth, but put your hope in God who richly provides for us. I command you to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, you will lay up treasure for yourself as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that you may take hold of the life that is truly life. Amen.